Welcome to All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today's book, Minor Feelings, An Asian American Reckoning by Kathy Park Hong, rests on the theme of not relying on just one story when seeking an understanding of a group of people. Some listeners may be familiar with that theme due to the 2009 TED Talk by Nigerian author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie called The Danger of a Single Story. It's become a viral sensation with over 25 million views on the TED YouTube channel. The basic idea is that much is lost and left unknown when one story develops that is accepted as the story of an entire group of people. Individuals end up burdened by daily misunderstandings of who they are, and others miss out on a richer and more complex understanding. In Minor Feelings, Hong notes her own life story as the daughter of Korean immigrants. She describes the one story that is often told of Asian immigrants, that as a group, they are considered most likely to succeed as newcomers to this country, and that they have much to be grateful for, especially the sacrifice of their parents and the opportunity offered by the United States. Minor Feelings is a collection of essays in which Hong tells and explores a different story. While these might be considered personal essays, each goes much deeper than simply describing the experience, as Hong uses them to explore and learn. With each experience she describes, she builds on this other story of Asian American life. Until this book, Hong's published works were poetry. She's a professor of poetry at Rutgers University and the poetry editor of the New Republic magazine. Minor Feelings is an especially well-written book in the sense of seeming simply to flow much like a conversation, which reflects great care and word choice on the author's part. Hong describes her development as a poet at a time when new writers were taught not to be personal in their writing, particularly when writers were women and when their personal story wasn't Northern European. She describes how the stories of white men tend to define how artists develop. She writes, "Art movements have been built on the bromances of bad white boys. Their exploits are exhaustively cataloged. Boys who were fizzy with collaboration and boys on their decade-long benders in bars that are now hallowed landmarks. From a young age, these boys speculated on their own legacy and critics eagerly bought their stock before they matured. But the importance of women is recognized belatedly. The female artist is given a retrospective postmortem. Archaeologists must unearth the crypt and announce they have discovered another under-recognized genius." I was struck over and over by Hong's description of her interactions with others, her ability to report what happened and what was said, and also to frame it in ways that looked beyond and beneath. She doesn't always cast herself in the best light either. Of her father, she writes, "On paper, my father is the so-called model immigrant. Upon meeting him, strangers have called my father a gentleman for his quiet charisma and kindness, a personality he cultivated from years of selling life insurance and dry cleaning supplies to Americans of all manner of race and class. But like many model immigrants, he can be angry. The question of racial identity can bedevil the children of Asian immigrants, but it's assumed that immigrant parents themselves are unfazed by the race question because they are either working too hard to care or they identify with the country they hail from and there's nothing more to say on the subject. But the experiences my father acquired as a mechanic in blue-collar white Pennsylvania and as a life insurance salesman trawling through neighborhoods ranging from Brentwood to South Central had made him highly sensitive about his own racial identity to the point where everything came down to race." Her mother's anger at her father played out in how often she beat Hong and her sister. These memories can be hard and tough, and Hong doesn't sugarcoat any of it. Hong could have chosen to write more of a memoir that would have had more sweep to it, but the essay collection actually works perfectly here. It allows her to choose particular stories or phases of her life in a way that parallels how I'm pretty sure many of us look back on our lives, not as one long sweep of history, but as phases or periods or events whose importance becomes clear when we look back. At a certain point in her life, Hong becomes obsessed with comedian Richard Pryor. Of him, she writes, Pryor blowtorched the beige from my eyes. I didn't know he was not just a comedian, but also an artist and a revolutionary. He got rid of the punchline to prove that stand-up could be anything, which is what geniuses do. They blow up mothballed conventions in their chosen genre and show you how a song or a poem or a sculpture can take any form. She tries changing up her own poetry readings to be more like stand-up comedy, which some people love and others find baffling. Hong also includes an essay called Portrait of an Artist, exploring the life of Teresa Hawk Kyung Cha, a Korean-American who was an accomplished artist, writer, and photographer. Cha was raped and killed in New York in 1982. Hong explores why her rape and murder weren't more of a story at the time they happened. She surmises that while there may have been other factors, reporters and others didn't draw attention to the story because of Cha's Korean background. Hong herself is very visible in this essay, tracking down information, talking to Cha's family and friends, trying to make sense of what happened to her. Among some, there is a preference not to discuss the circumstances of Cha's death because they seem to detract from the quality of her life and art. I respected Hong's sense of responsibility to tell Cha's story fully. I recognize in myself a Pollyanna who at the end of the day, or especially at the end of a book, seeks evidence of hope. Hong really doesn't provide that. She's pretty flat out in saying that she's ungrateful, and here's why. Here is her experience, and here is what she knows of other Asian Americans. Certainly other people could have experienced what she did and yet told a different story. My responsibility as a reader is to take that in and evaluate it not in terms of whether it is hopeful, but whether it rings true. And Minor Feelings does ring true. But why that title, Minor Feelings? This is what she writes. My term minor feelings is deeply indebted to theorist Cyan Gay, who wrote extensively on the affective qualities of ugly feelings, negative emotions like envy, irritation, and boredom, symptomatic of today's late capitalist gig economy. Like ugly feelings, minor feelings are non-cathartic states of emotion with a remarkable capacity for duration. Minor feelings occur when American optimism is enforced upon you, which contradicts your own racialized reality, thereby creating a static of cognitive dissonance. So, yes, this book is sometimes difficult in the most appropriate way, with Kathy Park Hong telling her story fully and honestly. The book is Minor Feelings, An Asian American Reckoning by Kathy Park Hong, published in 2020 by One World, a division of Random House. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online when you visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.
All About Books is supported by The Coinery, buying and selling coins, gold bullion, and offering collectors supplies and out-of-print books on Nebraska and the Great Plains. The Coinery, since 1964, owned by Jim McKee, located in the Piedmont Shops at Cotner and A in Lincoln.